Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Almighty God and Father, we praise you as we see and recount that the earth truly is full of your steadfast love. And Father, we thank you that we may sing so wondrously of you being our light and our refuge and our salvation. As we come to the end of another year, Father, it allows us to reflect and to recount the blessings that you have given us. And we thank you how you've been with each and every one of us, how you have been our God, our provider, our Father, the one who has watched over us, has cared for us, has carried us along the way. We give you thanks that as brothers and sisters, as your church, we've been able to gather regularly and freely every Sunday again, to call upon your name, to praise you, and to hear your word proclaimed. We thank you that we were able to receive the baptism and Lord's Supper as those sacraments that point us to that gospel truth in Jesus Christ. Thank you for the way in which baptism has so often gone hand in hand with the growth of our church. And that promise that your faithfulness will endure as these promises are renewed again and again to each and every new covenant child. We thank you too for that picture of your sustenance, of you providing for us, and the bread and the wine that you provide in Jesus Christ, and the joy that we may look forward to, and the joy that we may receive as we find all that we need in our Savior. We thank you that you have blessed this congregation, that the offices have been filled, and that office bearers are able to do their tasks. We thank you for the church as you've blessed us financially. We thank you for all the volunteer work that is able to be done. And Father, the way in which brothers and sisters have lived together and borne one another's burdens. Father, in all of it, we see through the ups and downs, through the challenges and the joys, Father, the sickness and the health over the past year, and the joy and the grief, that you have been our God, and that we have been your people. And so, Father, would you also now help us, that as we close off another year and begin another, our eyes may be on you, that we may consider those eternal truths that you have given us, and also to give you thanks, and with that confidence and joy to look ahead to all that you will have promised us again for the year ahead. We pray all of this in our Savior's name, Jesus Christ alone. Amen. Well, this evening we'll be turning to those words that we find in Revelation that the Lord is the Alpha and the Omega, and we'll tie in with that, or consider first Psalm 102, where the Lord who is eternal is described also in this psalm, and that all things will waste away, but he will remain. In that sense, that we'll be focusing on then this evening, as he's the beginning and the end, and all that is in between, the Alpha and the Omega, as well, grounded also in the Old Testament and in the poetry of Psalm 102. So the heading is A Prayer of an Afflicted Man when he is faint and pours out his laments before the Lord. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Let my cry for help come to you. Do not hide your face from me when I am in distress. Turn your ear to me when I call. Answer me quickly. For my days vanish like smoke, my bones burn like glowing embers, my heart is blighted and withered like grass. I forget to eat my food. Because of my loud groaning, I am reduced to skin and bones. I am like a desert owl, like an owl among the ruins. I lie awake. I have become like a bird alone on a roof. All day long, my enemies taunt me. Those who rail against me use my name as a curse. For I eat ashes as my food and mingle my drink with tears because of your great wrath. For you have taken me up and thrown me aside. My days are like the evening shadow. I wither away like grass. But you, O Lord, sit enthroned forever. Your renown endures through all generations. You will arise and have compassion on Zion, for it is time to show favor to her. The appointed time has come. For her stones are dear to your servants. Her very dust moves them to pity. The nations will fear the name of the Lord. All the kings of the earth will revere your glory. For the Lord will rebuild Zion and appear in his glory. He will respond to the prayer of the destitute. He will not despise their plea. Let this be written for a future generation, that a people not yet created may praise the Lord. The Lord looked down from his sanctuary on high. From heaven he viewed the earth, to hear the groans of the prisoners and release them, those condemned to death. So the name of the Lord will be declared in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem, when the peoples and the kingdoms assemble to worship the Lord. In the course of my life he broke my strength, he cut short my days. So I said, "Do not take me away, O my God, in the midst of my days. Your years go on through all generations. In the beginning you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. Like clothing, you will change them, and they will be discarded. But you remain the same, and your years will never end. The children of your servants will live in your presence. Their descendants will be established before you." So far, the reading of God's word, then, preparation for our text. We'll sing also of God's rule over time and what he provides in Psalm 90. And we'll sing stanzas 1, 2, and 6. Let's now this evening turn to the letter of Revelation as we listen to what the Lord had revealed to the Apostle John. We'll really just focus on his greeting and doxology and really just that phrase where the Lord assures John that he is the Alpha and the Omega, one who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Well, we'll start at verse 1, so Revelation chapter 1, verse 1 through 8. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw, that is, the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierce them, and all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Dearly loved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, at the end of every year, there's that bit of review, generally for ourselves, perhaps, for the world and in the news. And maybe one of the things that we tend to focus on, or we see the world around us focus on, is that idea of, well, progress, perhaps. And it's not that surprising, is it? It's kind of what we come to also recognize again this evening, that time progresses. And time always moves forward. Only a couple times in all of biblical history did God turn back time or make it stop. It's just natural for time to progress. But this idea of progression isn't just about time. In much of the world, we see that there is more that is thought about in terms of progression or advancement. Evolution, in whatever context that word is used, tends to not only communicate change, but evolving as in improving and advancing. And we recognize that we live in a world that changes rapidly. And we generally embrace these changes as improvements. I even think, like, what, you know, in the last year, in 2024, we maybe even notice that as people may talk about AI, or we think about the changes in our software and the like that has come out over the year. And to think, yeah, maybe we could say we're more technologically advanced than we were when we were here at this point in time a year ago. But here's the problem, or the issue with any language of advancement. You can't really advance unless you have a destination or a goal. Certainly the world changes and moves, but we always have to ask in what direction. Just because you notice that you're moving doesn't mean you're always going in the right direction. You may be moving forward. You may also be getting further away from where you need to be. It's only if you have a destination in mind that you may know if it's progress or not. Now this evening, we're not going to sit and review and weigh and balance every change to see if this last year has really brought us progress or advancement. Now we don't really need to do such a review. Rather, we may listen to the Lord himself as he says to comfort his people, to comfort the churches in Asia, I am the Alpha and the Omega, one who is and who was and who is to come. And in those titles, God has wrapped up a wealth of reflection and comfort and exhortation for each one of us. As we stand at the end of one year and the beginning of another, we may look back and ahead exactly because God says he's the Alpha and the Omega. Think about that title and that name. I am the Alpha and the Omega. As you may know, two Greek letters, two that aren't even translated in the English because they've come down in English in various forms. But if we really wanted to translate, what would we say? It's something like A and Z. I'm the letter A, I'm the letter Z, the first letter of the alphabet, the last letter of the alphabet. And if we didn't understand, like, why is the Lord saying this? What does he mean by it? I mean, he explains by saying who was and is to come. Or, as Jesus himself will also say, he's the Alpha and the Omega later on, and he'll say the first and the last. God reiterates for us, I'm the beginning and the end. As we look back and as we look ahead, God wants us to see him. The very beginning, the very end, and as we see anywhere in between. It's the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. He is what some people call like the Alpha point, the very beginning, the source of all things. And we know how true this is. I mean, we confess every Sunday that we believe in God, the Father, the creator of heaven and earth, who created all things, and all things were created by the power of his word. All things exist because he wanted them to exist. He truly is the very first point, the beginning of all things. So what do we see when we look back? What do you see when you review the year? What we tend to do is we look at reviews and say, look, what from January 1st to December 31st, what all happened? Recap the events of this year, 366 days. But as helpful as it is a little odd, isn't it? I mean, so much of that is included in any recap, whether of world events, whether of Canadian events, whether of our own events, had their roots in 2023. Or maybe, if we're honest, even before that. Take, for example, it's going to be in the news or in the reviews, the conflict between Israel and Gaza. Can you explain what is happening there without recapping the events of 2023? Could you recap it without going back even further in history? Can you really understand it without going back many, many years in order to properly recap where they're at today? Or what about the Trump election? 50 years from now, his re-election will not be understood in the vacuum of, well, that just happened randomly in 2024, but in the wider and broader events of the decade, all play into it. Just get us to think that so many of the fruits of the events of 2024 are grown from the seeds sown in the years before. And we reflect here on the big picture, the big world events, but because it's something that we can all observe and know, but you may be able to observe the same things in your own life. If you want to recap 2024, you can't do it by just considering this year in a vacuum on its own. There are events and choices and situations in 2023 and earlier that have set the course for this past year. They set the limits, perhaps. They set the obligations. They set the goals that you've had. No one starts a year with a clean slate. We all carry the baggage, good or bad, the previous years. Which means it's also a good time to reflect. What were the good decisions we made that were blessed in 2024? What were the poor decisions, the sinful choices we made that have, borne their deathly fruit in the past year? Don't just review the events that transpired. Review perhaps why they happened. Don't just see them in the vacuum or without context. There may be some things that you we could not account it for, we couldn't see coming. But there's far more that we encountered and that happened that was simply the seeds of that we've sown in the years and the days and the weeks before, and that have now grown their fruit. And yes, I am also purposely pushing a bit of a fatalistic view of history pretty strong here. Fatalism is that idea that the world is governed by, well, by fate. Things just have to happen. They had to happen that way. That's what was everything was lining up to be. And we can see part of the truth of that philosophy in the world. We are always propelled forward by the past. 2025, it's going to bear the marks of 2024. We don't just change. Events don't just change. We can't outrun the past. You can't avoid it. The past has formed you, and in your own way will influence you today and in the year to come. Sometimes we may even think a little too fatalistic. Sometimes exactly because of this. And we believe it's just the past that sets the tone. Maybe it's just because we believe in fate and we put fate more so as an instead of an impersonal force, it takes in our life the form of politics and the like. So many reviews will always go back and say, look, it's the politics. The world leaders, they set the stage. They've kind of set fate for the rest of the world and the events to come. Some people will dread 2025 because of what is going to happen. Others will welcome it all because of who's going to have power or who's going to be in control. As if that fate is all-encompassing. But that's it. It's that kernel of truth that can be pushed too far. World leaders can have influence. The history, the past can have influence, but they cannot become all-encompassing. When they do, it becomes terrifying. It would mean that as we look back, or as we look, we just see that we're trapped in the momentum and direction of the path of the past. And maybe that's what we feel at times, when one year feels like another. Or when we forget to look and observe and reflect on the care, the providence, the guidance of the Lord in our lives and in the world around us. And that means that one of the things we must do is to be better students of what it means when God says, I am the Alpha. He is the first and the beginning. He is the source. He says, look. Today, tomorrow, the year ahead, it is not ultimately propelled by our actions from yesterday. Today is ultimately propelled by who stands at its very beginning. The Alpha point is propelled by the one who, in all of his wisdom and goodness and holiness, willed it to be, this world to be, and today to be, and tomorrow to be. To hear God say that He is the Alpha is to hear that history set free from just fate or luck or the powerful chance or cause and effect. Yes, even to have it freed from just our decisions that are going to make or break 2025 or have made or broken 2024. To hear God say, I'm the Alpha is to realize that the past is the past, not simply because it had to be. Or that's just simply what happened, but because God willed it to be. And when we confess that He willed the world to be, that He brought it into existence, that He willed you to be. That He willed you to exist today. The Alpha point for the world. He's also the Alpha point for each one of us. Our Creator, our Designer, the one who has knitted our life together, and who has guided us here, even this evening. It means that when we recap the year, we may not only notice that the year didn't happen in a vacuum from our own decision and actions, but that we that we should and must trace the hand and will of the Lord our God. Take the time to give Him thanks, to take the time to praise Him and saying, Lord, You are the beginning and all of it. I see it here in my life. I see it in this past year and all that You have given me, the source of all that is good, the source of all that has happened. Yeah, because maybe it was a year and it's harder to trace what the Lord was exactly doing. We may not always understand exactly what He has intended in every season. Or maybe it is clear what He was doing, but it's still difficult because it was a season of discipline and hard growth and difficult lessons. Or maybe this evening you're challenged to look a little bit under the surface. You may know that He's there. But as God so often is, maybe ever present, but working in the background. Recognize it. And celebrate it and praise Him for it. Whatever it is that we've enjoyed in the last year, whatever it is that we've received, we didn't earn it. It's not the fruit simply of our choices in the year before or our plans that we made at the beginning of the year. It proceeds from the One who is the beginning, the One who is Lord over all. But how sure can we be of God's presence and work today? So far we've only said He's the beginning, He's the Alpha. But does that guarantee that He's still propelling things forward today? Yes, because He right away says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the A and the Z, meaning that He is all things also in between. He's A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and the rest of the alphabets. That's the figure of speech that is used here. He's all of it, from beginning to end. He's the last, the end, the goal, I say the grand finale. See, you might have made some goals for the year. You may be making goals for the coming year. You might have met them in this past year. You might have struggled with them. And probably setting goals is healthy. When they are good, they keep us focused on something we want to reach. When God says, I am the Omega, He lifts us up and says, consider where all things are going, what advancement truly is, and what is the ultimate goal, or rather, the goal and the destination of all things. And of course, on a basic level, we can all agree or acknowledge, if we know our scripture, that in time all things bring us closer to God, whether to the day that He will return or the day that He will call us home. But let's also review then this past year, not just in measure of time, but has the year brought us closer to the Lord? Are the ways in which we can say that we have seen Him and come to know Him all the more as that omega point, not just of creation, which is to be filled with the glory and wondrous, is to be filled with God's glory and wondrously give Him glory, but that He is the end, the goal for each one of us. You maybe noticed it in learning to let things go materially, maybe in slights, in forgiveness, maybe in other ways. But it was done because you realized just how important, how close you needed to be to God. That He just become more important in your life. May have been difficult, but you still were able to let things go. Maybe it's been through worship. You've sought to be near the Lord regularly and faithfully, and yeah, at the end of the year, you'd say it's borne fruit. Maybe it's simply in the events that have transpired in this past year. It's become so clear that God is near And you know what? In the most darkest hour, that's all that mattered. These are all examples, all kinds of different ways, lessons that God has given us, saying, look, I'm the Omega. When all things will perish, when all things will fade, when the whole creation may be changed as clothing, as Psalm 102 says, I'll be there. It's the end and the goal. As there's no progression, no advancement, unless we draw closer to that, to Him. With that in mind. That also then means as we look ahead, we must ask ourselves, how does that ultimate goal then direct our year ahead? Time will progress, it'll move forward, and we know the direction in which we have to go. So how will you advance into the new year? How does the ultimate goal set the tone for the year ahead? And then for your goals from week to week and day to day. Now, I've been stressing that when the Lord says that He's the Omega, He's meaning that He's the end, because He's the beginning and the end, but it's not the whole encapsulation of what it means, is it? So maybe we may as well, just as well, say that He is the completion. Yeah, Z is the last letter in the alphabet, but and it's end, but it's also then when you have A to Z, you have all the letters. It's all there. When God says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, He says that He will bring all things to be full, to be complete, and to be whole. That's another reminder this evening. We come to the end of another year with thanksgiving and hope, but there's bound to be a sense of loss in one way or another. Maybe something that we're missing, someone that we're missing as we start the new year. As things change, loss goes with it. When God says, I'm the Alpha, I've given all things and brought it forth, He also assures us when He's the Omega that He's its completion. But He will supply what is missing, restore what is lacking. Bring all things to their fullness to make them whole. And this is where we may this evening wondrously reflect on how God has already accomplished that in the life of our Savior, Jesus Christ. When we think of the past and how the past propels us forward, or if we think about the future and what awaits us there, it's not just about creation and not just about the end of creation. It's all wrapped up in our Savior, Jesus Christ. We may not start a new year with a clean slate removed, you know, from our history or from the past year, but we may start in the forgiveness and the righteousness that is ours in Jesus Christ, who entered history exactly for that point, for that reason. We may not see how all things from A to Z relate, but we see Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith. We would not believe unless He began it, and therefore that He will also finish it, as He promises. And we may notice the things that are missing. I may look forward to the completion and the fulfillment of all things and find hope of them promised and granted us, yes, for us in Jesus Christ. He is, as He says rightly, our Alpha and Omega. And so it's with praise to Him that we may rightly end and begin a new year and fill our year ahead. To continue also in the year ahead, to look back and to look ahead, to consider who is the Alpha and the Omega, to consider Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith. Amen.